are so glad that you are listening to the Mission Point Community Church podcast. It's our prayer that this helps you grow in your relationship with Jesus and encourages you to show and share the love of Jesus everywhere you go. Thanks for tuning in. Now let's dive into the message.
Question. I'm going to start out today, and some of you, you may think you know where this is going, and you don't, because I don't even know where this is headed. I'm going to ask a question. And usually when I start up here with a question, I'm going to admit it's a setup. That I usually, it's like a magician. I get you to look over here, I ask a question, and you think I'm asking this, and then I come back later and I deliver this, and like, haha, gotcha. That is not what I'm asking right now. It is not a gotcha. There's no right or wrong answer. Promise. But here's what I need you to do. I need you to think through this would you rather question, and I need you to answer it in your head and then with the people around you. And I'm going to give you a couple minutes or 30 seconds or so to decide. The would you rather question is this. Would you rather, and here's where I'm headed with this. We live in a lake community. Like, you may not have a boat or own a boat, but you've been on one, you've seen one, right? I don't have one, but I borrow one from people and I use it and it's fun. And I try not to break it. And it's a boating question. Would you rather have a boat with a hole in it? Okay, let's say a hole the size of a pop can, okay? Would you rather have a boat with a hole in it or have a boat but no ropes or any way to tie it off, okay? So the question is, would you rather have a boat with a hole in it or a boat with no ropes or any way to tie it off to something, okay? I'm gonna let you discuss. I'm gonna give you 30 seconds with the people around you. Not a setup, no right, no wrong answer, okay? But I need you to think about it. If you're sitting by yourself, just come up with an answer and we'll get there in a second. Ready, set, go. Go. If you're staring at me, stop. Talk to the people around you. Don't look at me. Okay, you get 10 more seconds. Okay, so here's what's funny. In case you don't realize that up here, every week I can see everything and I catch some of you sleeping. Like, yes, it happens. Okay, so I can see everything and I can hear a lot better than you think I can. So like, I heard things like, oh, insurance, like they'll cover that. Like it'll do, like I heard that, right? That's called fraud, by the way, ma'am, too. No, oh, not me. No, yeah, okay, we'll talk later. All right, so now I'm just curious. And no right or wrong answer, right? I wanna see if this crowd is similar to the last crowd, right? How many of you said you'll take the boat with a hole in it, right? You'll take the boat with a hole in it, okay? No right or wrong answer, okay. So it's about a third of you. So how many of you said you'll take the boat with no ropes, like you're good, I'm just not gonna take on water, like I'll take the boat with no ropes. Okay, so a few more of you are there. So, okay, half of you are wrong. No, I'm joking. So there's no right or wrong answer. Here's where we're going today. I'm gonna try to make that make sense here in just a second. We're in a series we're calling Anchored. We feel like it's important for us, especially in times of transition. I mean, that's really what we're in. I mean, we're welcoming a new lead pastor, right? We're going to be talking about Rob and welcoming his family. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have a lot of fun and that. But we want to make sure that whatever transition that we're in, that we're anchored to the things that are important. Just as a church, we're just going to start there. So that's why we said we're going to take several weeks and we're going to talk about being anchored to something bigger, stronger than us. I believe one of the reasons why, you know, Michael stands up here and talks about like, hey, the faithfulness of God in this season and times of transition. I believe that one of the reasons this church has done so well over the last year, I believe, is because from the beginning, this church was anchored in something bigger than a singular person, period. And those of you that were here at the beginning and have held that stuff together, thank you. Because you've been a part of that. And in life, all of us, we need to think through, what are we anchored to? What are we tethered to? And will it bear the storm? Will it hold up? Because here's the thing, and now let's get back to this question that I asked. In life and in culture, most of us notice the giant events where people, celebrities, folks, that maybe some of them we know, maybe some of them from a distance, go down very quickly in flames, boom, goes up, and then we all hop on social media, talk about them, and say things, and it's all noticeable. That's like the hole in the boat. Oh man, like you want to watch something funny, like go YouTube, like people who forgot to put the plug in their boat. You know, they're at the boat dock and they're backing up. Yay, everything's looking great. Trailer pulls away and then everybody starts running because they didn't put the plug in and the boat sinks. It's really funny to watch unless it's your boat. But we watch those moments happen. And so we focus on, well, I'm going to make sure that my life doesn't look like that. So I don't have any big holes in my boat. Yes, that's a metaphor. I would never do that at work. I would never do that to my spouse. I would never commit that. I would never do those things. I have protected and insulated my life from those great big holes. No holes in my boat. Maybe a little, you know, I'll keep a sponge in there because things are going to drip every now and then, right? Water is going to splash over the side. But Scott, I have proofed my life so that I'm not going down in this giant flame, I'm good. And we focus on the hole in the boat. And so we all patch up the holes so that we're not going to go down in this giant burst. But what if? What if it's actually more dangerous to not have a rope? What if it's actually more dangerous to not have a way to tie off to something solid? What if it's actually more dangerous to slip away gradually and to move away a little bit at a time? Well, but I'm not taking on water. But there's no water in the boat. I'm good. There's no hole. Like, I'm not getting wet. My feet are dry. Everything's looking fine. Like, I'm all good. Actually, look, I'm getting a suntan. Like, this is great. And before long, we've drifted so far off course, we can't even see where we're supposed to go or where we were trying to go. But I didn't go down in flames, but the boat didn't sink, but we're never getting to our destination. There's no right or wrong answer, but just think about it for a second. What if the riskier move is just slowly drifting away? A text I want to start with this morning. And typically here, I would open up a passage of scripture and we would go through a longer section. And I love telling stories and we would extract, you know, from that, we would see God's word and we would look at the characters. Today, we're going to do it just a little different. We're going to be bopping from Old Testament, New Testament, and back and forth because there is a thread that is woven throughout the scriptures. And when it's woven throughout, it's important that we look at it and see it because God put it in there multiple times for us to recognize and see in lots of different ways. In the Old Testament, Isaiah 53 says this, 53:6, verse 6. We all I do have to stop there for just a second because some of you maybe landed in church this morning and you're like, I've done so much bad stuff. Like I thought the roof was going to cave in. Like, by the way, that is the craziest thing. Like I've never like been watching the news and you're like, oh, you know, a person did something bad, walked into church and the roof fell in. Never have I heard it happening. Okay. But people think that maybe that's you and you're like, I shouldn't be here today. Like I've done this and I've done this and you've are being overcome with shame for just a moment. I need you to hear these words. We all. And you rolled into a church this morning that believes that we all have our stuff, every one of us. This text starts with, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. I know I'm shifting metaphors from boats to sheep, so just hang in there. But we all, like sheep, have gone astray, every one of us. The difference is some people get caught and they end up on social media and they end up in the news. And some people, their stuff looks bigger because they got caught or it got away from them. We all have gone astray. None of us are so unique. Well, I haven't. There's your problem. Like, you can't admit it. We all have gone astray. It happens. We all drift. You're not worse than anybody else. So if you're feeling that shame, you're like, oh, I shouldn't. And by the way, I'm not picking out anyone. Like, I don't know your story. He's talking to me. No, I'm not. Like, I'm not. I'm talking like all of us. We've all gone astray. And each of us has turned to our own way. And then this is the beautiful part. And it's one of the things I love about this church. We're never going to just give you the bad news and say, yeah, you've gone astray. So you need to fix it. Get right. The text goes on and says, we all have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on, this gets a little tricky. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Who's the him? This is Isaiah projecting forward. It's a prophecy about Jesus who was to come. Jesus, who took on all of our sins, all of our stuff, all of the holes in our boat, he took on all of it. He took on all of the things that we have done and will ever do. It was laid upon him. That's the good news. That's why we exist as a church here, so that all of us can be reminded of the good news that our iniquity was laid upon him. So if you think today that you've done something so bad, like you shouldn't be here, and you need to hear this. It's already been taken care of. We just need to receive it. Yeah, you've taken in water. Yeah, you've messed up. Yeah, your stuff ended up, you know, and everybody, you know, you think everybody's talking about, which by the way, not everybody's talking about it. You think they are, but they're not. You think everybody knows? No, not everybody knows. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So this idea of drifting, it's the danger that none of us ever feel. Think about it like this. The hole in the boat, it gets everybody's attention because it's dramatic and there's drama around it. Like, oh no, there's a hole in the boat. And people are like, get the buckets, get the sponges. Like, we're throwing out. Like, the hole in the boat gets a lot of attention. The drifting gets very little attention because it's so subtle. It's like a lazy river, right? Lazy rivers are awesome, right? You're sitting in a lazy river. You're like, you're in a tube, right? You're like, oh, this is awesome. Like, I'm just cruising in the tube, right? And I'm in the lazy river and you're just going wherever the river takes you. And you're like, oh, listen to the birds, right? You hear the little ripples of the water. You're like, oh, the ripple. Like, I love hearing just running water, and I'm in the tube. There's running water. Oh, water sounds so good. I love to hear running water. The water is getting louder. What's the water starting to get really loud? That's a waterfall, right? And then all of a sudden, like, the lazy river turns into, and like, you go off the waterfall. That's the problem with drifting. My wife and I get to do marriage coaching from time to time with couples. And one of the things that always comes up when we talk to couples is this: we never drift to greatness. Think about that. You ever see someone just casually drift to greatness? We don't drift to greatness. Usually when we're drifting, we were just surrendering to the current. We just surrender to wherever it takes us. And it's interesting. Drifting is quiet. Rebellion is loud. Drifting rarely happens dramatically. It's subtle. The writer of Hebrews reminds us of this. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 says this: we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard. Why? See, to me as a kid in school, like, people would tell me, you need to pay attention, you need to listen. And they never told me why. And then later on, I found out. I didn't know they gave scholarship money for kids who had good grades. I found that out later. Like, nobody told me that early, so I would have maybe tried harder, maybe. The writer is telling us we must pay the most careful attention to what we have heard. He's speaking to a group of people that were tempting, that were being tempted to walk away from the good news of the New Testament of Jesus. They were being tempted to go backwards. And he's saying we must be careful to pay the most, or we must pay the most careful attention to what we've heard so that we don't drift away. The writer of Hebrews was reminding us that drifting is dangerous, and we're so worried about the hole. Like, but I don't have there's no hole in my boat, so I'm good. And yet, we drift. No one that I've ever met drifts on purpose. No one sits at home and says, you know what, today I'm going to not pay attention to this part of my life because I'm pretty sure it's going to end up in a train wreck one day, and I'm okay with that. No one drifts on purpose. No one gets up and says, you know what, today I'm going to just destroy my marriage one little piece at a time. Nobody gets up and does that. Drifting starts with this, not with a leap where I'm going to jump into this catastrophic event for my marriage, my job, my relationships, my family. No one leaps into that. Instead, and I love it. I read this week. This isn't mine. I stole it. Instead, what do? We lean into it. It's just a lean. Well, it's just one. It's no big deal. Nobody will know. It's just insurance fraud. Just saying. It's just a lean. It starts small. And then over time, it gets out of hand. It gets scary. It gets big. I also read this. A distracted heart becomes a directed heart. Think about this. A distracted heart becomes a directed heart, just in the wrong direction. I've chased some things in my own life and my career. I'm like, oh, look, something shiny. Like, let's do this. Let's try this. And I get distracted. And before long, I'm down this path all the way down. And I don't even realize, how in the world did I get here? Like, this isn't a good use of me, my gifts, my time, like my talents, like all this. Like, how did I get here? Oh, because I was distracted. And over time, it multiplies itself. I played golf with a guy one time pretty good golfer. Pretty good, like he's won some stuff golfing, and we were out in like hole number 4 or 5, like very kind, never said anything about my game or my swing or anything, but about hole 5, he couldn't take it anymore. And he goes, hey, if I had a thought on your swing, would you want to hear it? And I could tell he was just dying, right? Because I can drive the ball consistently. Like, I mean, seriously, like 290, like 280, 290, right? It's usually like 180 this way and 100 that way. So add it up, like it's some distance, right? It's pretty good. And I was like, you know, hey, sure. Like, I know I'm not the best golfer. Like, yeah, you want it. Like, if you have a thought, and because I know you're not fixing the whole thing, but you know, just tell me, give me something. He goes, yeah, like you're teeing the ball up the middle. If you just move it over here, you already know your ball's headed that way. So why not move it over here? Let's just change this angle just a little bit. Because even if that ball continues to go out that way and come back here, you may land a little closer to our fairway instead of the one in that other neighborhood, okay? And I was like, huh. And I tried it. And here's what's funny. Just that little subtle angle, just a little angle here and a little angle here, it changes the game significantly. Oh, here's the catch. Good and bad. Think about it. Just one little angle in the wrong direction, you know, 2 feet out, that's not a big deal. 4 feet out, not a big deal. But we go a mile out, 2 degrees is significant. What if we changed the game? We may not be running from God. I don't have a hole in my boat. I'm not running from him. No, we're just floating away from him slowly. That's the scary part for me. You know, in church, we do this a lot. We ask people, hey, how's it going? How you doing? And what's the number one answer? Like, look at your neighbor and say, how you doing? And just ask him, go do that, right? All right, you go look, now look back to them and say, yeah, good, how are you doing? What's the number one answer we give? How are you doing? What's the number one thing we say? What is it? Good, fine, right? We have torn the page out of the Bible that says you shouldn't lie. And as Christians, we just take that as the acceptable lie. How are you doing? Oh, I'm fine. Are you? No, you're not. You're a mess. Now, I'm not saying we should just disclose everything, right? Good morning, how's it going? And bleh, right? Like, please, after church, pick your kids up. If somebody says, how you doing? Don't stand in here for 2 hours and tell them like the whole thing, right? When I was four, I then, you know, and like you, don't. But Rick talked about it last week if you were here. Rick did a great job last week talking about leaning into the right people who have Christ at the center of them, that share a core value to you, that share a belief system that you believe in, that when they ask, that we're honest, because guess what? Those people may keep us from drifting. Those people may help us. They may secure us. They may throw us a line and keep us from drifting off course. Or we could just keep saying, oh, fine. No, I'm okay. I'm good. How are you? I'm really good at just deflecting. I'm good. How are you? Tell me about you. And I'll ask you 30 questions. And hey, all right, we both got to go. I'm like, whew, nobody asked about me. A drifting is sneaky. It's why we have to anchor to something bigger. Psalm 119. I would say it's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, but it's not. I like it. I probably do have some favorites, and now it's weird to say out loud, like, he doesn't have a favorite. Like, yeah, okay, I like the whole Bible. There we go. Psalm 119. Here's what's interesting about Psalm 119 in the Bible. Of all the Psalms, it's the longest Psalm. It's got the most verses. What I do love about Psalm 119 is every verse, every stanza in Psalm 119 in the Bible talks about and references something about God's word, God's law, God's statutes, God's instruction. Fact check me on that. Everyone in Psalm 119, don't do it right now, it's really long, but you can do it later. But right, every stanza in there references the word of God, his principles, his statutes, his instructions. Psalm 119, I picked one out. Psalm 119, 176 says this, I have strayed like a lost sheep. Time out. The writer of one of the 40 authors of the book of the Bible is admitting that he strays. Oh, that's right. Remember that Isaiah passage? We all. The writer of the Psalm 119. We all have strayed. Says this, I have strayed like a lost sheep. And then I love this. This guy, he knew something that we don't. Because his next words are this. Seek your servant, for I have not forgotten your commands. There's the reference to God's word, right? But look at what he says. Seek your servant, for I have not forgotten your commands. He's saying, God, I cannot do this on my own. Some of you have been to churches and experiences and been a part of things where people go, hey, stop drifting. You need to not drift. And so you need to try harder. You need to do more. You need to give more. You need to be more. Be better. Do better. And where does that get us? Discouragement, shame, frustration. If I knew how to do better, I would. If I knew how to beat this addiction, you think I would just keep doing it? The writer of the psalm says this, I've strayed like a lost sheep. God, would you please seek your servant? Then he says this, for I've not forgotten your commands. He's saying, I'm anchored to your commands, but it is stretched and it is hard. And Lord, I'm even straying, even though I'm holding on to your commands. I know them, they're in here, but I can't get them to come out. And so I keep doing that habit, that thing that I don't want to do. And he's admitting to drifting. Those small compromises, eventually they take us off course. And we don't drift towards greatness. Instead, we drift to the place where the current takes us. Years ago, I was in middle school. I was on a canoe trip. Some buddies invited me on this canoe trip with a church youth group. And I was like, yeah, I'm in. And we went to Brookville, Southern Indiana. And I can't remember the river that we were on. Beautiful day. I got sunburned like crazy. That's what I remember. And the water level wasn't high. Like, we're seeing crazy floods all over the country. Water level wasn't high. Water was clear. Actually, at some points we had to drag our canoe over rocks and stuff. So it was a nice day. But there's a point in the river where the river narrows and then takes a corner. And at that corner, there was this beautiful pebble beach. And so they had planned on us to stop there and eat lunch. And so it was awesome. We come up to that curve and we get out, eat our lunch on the shore. And I remember sitting there eating my peanut butter sandwich. And now all these other youth groups are coming through and we're just having a blast. We're like waving at people like, hey, how's it going? You know, they're laughing and waving back. And so everybody that came through, we're getting their attention and they're waving and laughing and smiling. This one canoe comes through and it had three people. And I remember somebody was in the middle. And so we start waving and they're like, yeah, and they take their paddles up in the air. And as they go to turn the corner, the canoe turns sideways. Okay, just starts to drift around the corner a little sideways. And they hadn't paid attention to the fact that a tree, like a tree had fallen into the creek a long time before that. It was a dead tree laying there. And so right on the corner was this tree and they drifted into the tree and their canoe lodged right up against the tree. Now, the river, by the way, doesn't stop because somebody ran into a tree. The river kept flowing. And so it went from hey to hey. And it starts pushing them against this tree. The canoe rocks back and forth and it tips just a little bit, enough to catch the current. And the canoe starts to fill with water so quickly, it flips three people out of the canoe. One of them, I remember this like it was yesterday. We're sitting on the beach. We watch one of them with a life jacket on go under the canoe and disappear. Leaders and people just drop their sandwiches and go running because all of a sudden this thing took a dark turn, screaming, yelling, happy ending. All three lived. Everybody's good. So you can breathe now. Okay. But it happened so quickly. And it turned, washes the kid out. We were there like another 45 minutes. They were trying to get the canoe. They never got the canoe out. They threw those people in other canoes. They just left it. Like, I guess we'll lose our deposit until they find the canoe, right? Canoe, like, we'd never popped up. But I'll never forget sitting there watching this moment turn from this subtle, like, yay, to all of a sudden flipped. And then watching people run in and rescue and help and pulling these folks out of the water. It's a picture that we get in scripture. It's a picture that we see of what God does. He rescues. Colossians 1:23 speaks to this idea of drifting. 1:23 says, if you continue in your faith, Paul writes, established and firm, and do not move from the hope that you held out in the gospel. He says, if you tie yourself and anchor yourself to something bigger, it's going to be helpful. And he says, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, have become a servant. It's awesome. And I was like, this is a great verse to pluck and talk about drifting. And Paul's saying, establish yourself and hold firm to this. But I don't want us to lose the context of this. Colossians was written to a group of people that Paul is giving instruction to and telling them that Christ is supreme, that he's the only thing that will hold us. And he's encouraging them with that. And then he says this. He says that Christ gave his life for you. Christ's blood was shed on the cross. This includes you. And some of you needed to hear this. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemy. It's not gonna be on the screen, so just follow me. You were his enemy, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. All of us have had evil thoughts and actions, by the way. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. Jesus gave his life. That's the Isaiah passage that we read. Our iniquities were placed onto him. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. And here's where this passage that I just read picks up. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. You must continue to anchor yourself in that, because if not, shame will eat you for lunch. Fear will eat you for lunch. Embarrassment will undermine any positive thing that you try to do. Hold fast to that, that Christ died for you, and don't drift away, he says, from the assurance you received when you heard that good news. He's reminding us to tether and be rooted in that, to hold and anchor ourselves to him so that we're not easily influenced. And the trick on this is, well, but if I anchor myself to him, like I still have to do this and I still have to do this and I still have to do this. Yes, it is a calling. He calls us to do those good things, but he's the rescuer. He's the one that actually jumps from the shore, and he's the one that does the rescuing. That's why Jesus is referred to in the Bible as the good shepherd. John 10 says this, I'm the good shepherd that lays down his life for his sheep. That's who he is. He goes on to say in one of the parables he talks about, doesn't the shepherd, you know, when he loses a sheep, he runs out and looks for the 99, or leaves the 99 and runs out to seek that one lost sheep that has gone astray, that has drifted, that just started eating grass. Well, I'm just eating grass. I'm just like, oh, hey, there's some more grass over here. And I'm just eating this grass here. And it's like no big deal. And I'm just eating this. And oh, this is good. Well, I'm not gonna eat that, but I'm just eating this grass over here. And that sheep looks up and he was like, oh no. I'm so far away from where I'm supposed to be. This is the beautiful part of that parable. Jesus says, well, sheep, you better get your stuff straight so you can make it back. No. The text reminds us, he's the shepherd who goes out of his way, and he seeks and he finds and he does the work, and he climbs over the rocks and he puts himself on the cross for you and for me. He did the work. We can't earn our way back to it. That's who he is. And then I love the story ends with, and then he goes around and he rejoices. He's like, everybody, I found my sheep. I found my sheep. Look, I found him. And he rejoices. I'm gonna give you a fake ending here. Because I put this list together the other day. If you guys want to put that list up, I put this list together. Because I was thinking, like, what can I practically give people? How can I help folks? Because if we've drifted, there may be some things that we've drifted away from that maybe we do need to practice to move, you know? And for some of you, it could be. Maybe this list is for you. Maybe there's somebody in here that just needs to open the Bible again. You need to stop drifting because you've been reading a whole lot of stuff online and none of God's word. And maybe you just need to open the Bible again. For some of you, maybe you just need to pray honestly again. Instead of, you know, God is good, God is great, thank you for this food that doesn't rhyme, but you know what I'm saying. Maybe instead of just a silly little prayer, maybe it's just like bearing your soul and confessing to God. Confessing to somebody, a trusted person, a counselor, a therapist, another believer, the compromises that you've made, and just saying, I want to stop doing this and I don't want to do this anymore. Maybe it's rejoining community. Maybe it's saying, you know what? Yeah, I did the church thing and the small group thing, but that got ouchy and I got burned and they said it was a prayer request and turned out it was gossip and it was like, oh, I want to be a part of that. Maybe it is just rejoining and stepping in. Maybe it's asking for help. Maybe it's returning to worship. Maybe it's re-anchoring in truth. And I left these blank on purpose because I don't know what your life is. I don't know your story. Maybe you need to set blank down and fill in the blank. And if something just came to mind, that's probably the thing. But maybe you need to set blank down. Or for some of you, maybe you need to pick blank up. And I don't know what the blank is, but if something jumped in there, maybe that's it. So I put that list together, and this is the fake ending, because I put that list together and I was like, wait, Scott, that's stupid, because you told people they can't do it on their own. Then you gave them a list of things to do on their own. That's wrong. He did the heavy lifting, which is why I added this last one. maybe, just maybe, the action you need to take is actually just to receive the free grace. It costs somebody something, but the grace that God has given to you to start there, maybe that's what you need. Drifting is gradual, and it is surrendering to the current. And I've watched enough people in the water to know where the current takes us. That today it was worth challenging all of us, myself included, to say, how about we not drift? How about we anchor ourselves and tether ourselves to God, to His word, and not feel so comfortable, well, I don't have a big hole in my boat, that we end up somewhere else that we don't want to be. I'm gonna pray for us, and here's all I'm gonna do. I'm just gonna pray for us, and then we're gonna sing two songs, and I'm just gonna ask that during these last two songs that you just let the Lord speak to you. Just ask Him, like, what is it? Is it from that list? Is it something else? Just ask Him what it is. It's not for me, that it would be from Him. Lord, I love You. God, thank You that You chase after us, that You jump off of the shore when we've drifted into something dangerous, and You come chasing after us, Lord. Thank You for that. Lord, help us to not drift. Lord, help us to move towards You. Lord, help us to even just look up so we can see You chasing after us. Lord, speak to us right now and just use this time. It's a couple songs. Just, Lord, use this time to speak to our heart. Reveal to us what You want us to see, to know, to do. Lord, who You want us to connect with, who You want us to unconnect from. Lord, to what place You want us to go, what place You want us to stop going, what You want us to read, what You want us to stop reading. Lord, just speak to us in these moments.
Thanks so much for tuning in to today's message. We would love to personally invite you to one of our Sunday services at 9 or 10:45 a.m. in the Performing Arts Center at Warsaw Community High School at One Tiger Lane in Warsaw, Indiana. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please make sure to subscribe and connect with us on social media by following Mission Point CC. You can also contribute to what God is doing through Mission Point. Simply visit missionpoint.net/give and give a gift today. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great week.